I suppose if I were to mention the name Simon of Cyrene, I'm sure most of us would know who I'm referring to. He's the individual that the Roman soldiers compelled to carry the cross of Jesus on his way to the crucifixion. And I also suppose if I were to ask you what else you knew about him, there would probably be very little discussion. And there's a reason for that. We're really not told a tremendous amount about Simon, hardly anything, though he is mentioned in all three synoptic accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this very memorable character in the life of Jesus is only cited in passing, given but one verse in each of these three accounts. I've always found this individual to be an extremely compelling character. What a wonderful yet horrific act he is known for. He carried the cross of Jesus Christ on his way to be crucified for the sins of the world. And more than likely, it wasn't the crucifix itself that he carried from everything I've heard and read. It was probably the cross beam. So when I say he carried the cross, that's what I mean. He probably carried the cross beam, probably not a full-size crucifix. But for this lesson this morning, I'd like for us to take some time to take a close look at the little we're told about him, what it might reveal about him, and some lessons we might learn from this obscure but memorable individual in the life of Jesus Christ. I'm convinced that everything we have written in the Bible we have for a reason, that God put it there for a reason. And we may not know the reason we have the account of Simon, but I think we might be able to draw some conclusions within the pages of God's Word. Let's look at one place where he's mentioned here in Luke chapter 23 and verse 26. And when they led him away, they laid hold of one Simon of Cyrene coming in from the country and placed on him the cross to carry behind Jesus. Well, who is this Simon that we're talking about this morning? There's really nothing special or spectacular mentioned about this individual. From the little bit we're told, he's simply an ordinary man who found himself in an extraordinary circumstance. His name is ordinary. He is one of at least nine Simons mentioned in the New Testament. You can't get much more ordinary than that. Simon is an abbreviated form of the Hebrew Simeon. And all the evidence seems to indicate that this man was Jewish. He was from the city of Cyrene. And Cyrene, if you don't know, is a province at the northern tip of Africa there, to the left of Egypt. Because he was from North Africa, some commentators have equated him with Simon the Niger, who's mentioned in Acts 13. And it's possible that when it refers to Simon the Niger and Lucius, it may be saying they're both from Cyrene here. And that would even be more evidence that this was the same Simon. We don't know for sure, but it's something to think about. We do know that Cyrene itself was a province of a large Jewish population. From what I've read, according to the historical records, 100,000 Jews from Palestine had been settled in the province by Ptolemy Soter about 300 years before Christ. And I don't know if there were still 100,000 there during this time, but they could have at least possibly grown unless they migrated back to Palestine. I do not know. But there was a large Jewish population there in Cyrene. The Cyrenian Jews were so prevalent that they apparently had their own synagogue in Jerusalem that they shared with the Alexandrians, which would make sense because they probably spoke the same language. If you look over at Acts 6 and 9, it talks about the synagogue of the freedmen, including the Cyrenians and Alexandrians. And if you notice on that map, Alexandria is right up there on the northern tip of Africa as well. Apparently, there were also enough of them in Jerusalem at this time for them to be mentioned in Acts chapter 2. among those who heard the gospel presented in their own language. So there were apparently a significant amount of Cyrenian Jews there to hear that. And notice here it says that those from Egypt and the districts of Libya around Cyrene heard them speak in their own language. So all that, apparently that area of the continent of Africa spoke the same language. And also because he was from Cyrene, some have also equated him with the group of men in Acts 11:20 who were preaching to the Greeks as well as the Jews. And again, we do not know that. But men of Cyprus and Cyrene had come to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also. So we know a lot about Cyrenian Jews, don't we? Or a fair bit. And it stands to reason that Simon may have been among this group. We don't know that for sure. Well, another question we can ask about Simon is, what was he doing in Jerusalem at this time? We can't know for sure, but I think we can also draw some possible conclusions. He was in all likelihood a Jew from Cyrene who had come to Jerusalem to worship for Passover, one of the three mandatory feasts. And the three mandatory feasts said that all Jews, male Jews, who were 20 years or older, had to come to Jerusalem for those feasts. That was the Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles, and for Pentecost. And I imagine many would come for Passover and stay through to Pentecost, especially when you're traveling, I think, 800 or 900 miles from Cyrene to Palestine, up there where Jerusalem was. So that's quite a trip. We're told in both Mark and Luke's account that he came into Jerusalem from the country. He came in from the country. And I think it stands to reason that he was likely dwelling there during the time of this feast. According to the historical records I've read, there were probably at least between 1 million and 3 million Jews that came to Jerusalem for the Passover. Do you know what a small city that was at this time? Do you think you could fit 1 million people in Jerusalem, let alone 3 million? So what they did is they all encamped around the city during the Passover, when they came for that feast. He came in from the country. From John's account, we know that he was in Jerusalem on the day of preparation for the Passover, and that's John 19:14. We see Pilate speaking to Jesus here, and it says it was the day of the preparation of the Passover, and this is the day that Jesus was crucified. Maybe Simon had come into the city to buy some provisions. If it were my house, I can see how it's going. Simon, did you remember the bitter herbs? Is it possible he had come into the city to buy preparations for the Passover? Maybe he had come into the city to worship that morning. Jesus was crucified in the third hour, and by Jewish reckoning, that would have been 9 a.m. And according to the historical records, the Jews worshiped three times a day, and 9 a.m. being one of those times of prayer, one of those hours of prayer. Maybe he came in to pray and worship. We can't know necessarily why Simon was there in the city at that time, but it seems to me that the evidence indicates that he was probably a devout Jew. He's from Cyrene, where there's a large Jewish population. It's the time of the Passover. He's staying outside the city, and here he is in Jerusalem at the time of prayer. His name was obviously Jewish, of Jewish origin. We know that. For some reason, he was 900 miles from home during the Passover. So there seems to be some indication as to why he was there in Jerusalem. In Mark's account, also it says that he is referred to as a passerby coming from the country. Whatever he was doing there that morning, we can be pretty sure he wasn't one of Jesus' disciples, I think. He had nothing to do with him. He was a passerby. He was not related to that group at all. I think we can also be pretty sure he wasn't among those who had recently been shouting to crucify Jesus. He had no loyalty one way or the other. He was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Perhaps he'd never even heard of Jesus, or maybe he had just heard some rumors about this teacher, miracle worker, who had been stirring up the Jews. We're not told. We can't know. But we can know what he saw that morning. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 27, "And there were following him," Jesus, "a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting him." And we know that at the cross and at Pilate's sentencing, there were many who were shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Come down from the cross!" Were they in that crowd as well? And also, two others also who were criminals were being led away to be put to death with him. You know, I don't know about you, but I can picture this scene in my head. Here's a picture of a street in Jerusalem, an old street. I don't know if this street was in existence during the time of Jesus, but I imagine this looks very similar to the street that Jesus was traveling on when he carried his cross and the two thieves and this great multitude of people, some lamenting him, some shouting for his death possibly. And then you have all the other people who are in Jerusalem at that time for the Passover, all the other passersby. Can you imagine? And Simon is seeing this. He may not even speak the language. And he sees this spectacle coming down the street. And maybe he kind of squeezes up in a doorway out of the way to get out of the way of this mass of people and these criminals being led by Roman soldiers. And one of them is bloodied, beaten almost beyond recognition, and is still wearing the crown of thorns on his head. And Simon sees him. And maybe Jesus is already saying things to the multitude. "Behold, if they do this in a green tree, what are they going to do in a dry?" Maybe he's wondering what's going on there. And then out of nowhere, a soldier grabs him and says, "You carry the cross for this." Maybe he doesn't even understand what the guy's saying to him, but he's compelled to carry this cross. I want us to, you know, I think we sometimes don't see Passover like we should. I think Passover to the Jews was like our Thanksgiving. I mean, this was a family celebration where they got together and they celebrated their release from the Egyptian bondage and enjoyed one another and the time they spent together. It wasn't a burden to go to Jerusalem for Passover. This was a holiday. When Jesus was 13, it says that the family traveled in a caravan to Jerusalem. They were looking among the caravan when they couldn't find him. This was a big deal. This was celebration. And here Simon is in the city at this celebratory time, and he's asked to carry the cross of a common criminal. Maybe he was wearing his best clothes at the time, and he has to put this bloody piece of wood on his shoulder. We know from Jesus' own words that the soldiers had the right to compel anyone to carry a burden up to a mile. And that seems to me that's what's happening here. Can you imagine what a humiliating experience this must have been for him? Total stranger. He's got to carry the cross of a criminal through the street. Apparently that was a pretty common sign in that day and time. I mean, there were three that day. I presume the criminals were carrying their crosses. It doesn't say that, but it seems to me that was a form of punishment. It's so common, Jesus uses it in an illustration. "Unless you take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of the kingdom of heaven." So this isn't anything necessarily new, but having to carry one's cross? You know, why? Why do we have this recorded for us? I always wondered that. Why do we have this event recorded for us? I think it's only by understanding the purpose behind the crucifixion that we can understand what took place that day. Crucifixion was not simply a means of execution. They could have executed the death sentence any way they wanted to. Crucifixion was intended to serve as a public display of the guilt and condemnation of the criminal. Why did they take the crossbeam back to the place of sentencing? Why don't they just leave it there at the cross? But for some reason, they take this crossbeam back to where people are sentenced so they can carry it through the street to demonstrate their guilt before everyone around them. That's the only reason I can think of why they brought that crossbeam back there. Maybe they were protecting it from being stolen. I don't know. It doesn't seem like you'd want to steal something in a place where they crucify you for it. I wonder if that was the point. So everybody could see your guilt and your sin. You know what? Jesus wasn't guilty. And maybe that's why we have this written for us, to show us that he was not guilty of the crime for which he was being convicted and punished. So this passerby was compelled to carry the cross for him. Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, God's unblemished sacrifice. And Simon, as devout a Jew as he might have been, as good a person as he may have been, somebody who even traveled 900 miles to worship the Lord, he was not innocent. As Ken mentioned at the Lord's Supper, I'm sure he had things that he didn't want anyone to know about in his life. As things stood, he was condemned to carry the weight of his sin to his death. And God knew that. But Jesus was not. You know, I would suggest that the reason Simon was chosen to carry the cross was not because he was unique or special or extraordinary, but because he was ordinary. He's you and me. We are all guilty of sin and stand condemned before God, and we must put ourselves in the shoes of Simon. There are no passerbys when it comes to Jesus Christ. We can't sit on the fence and say, you know what? Hey, that's your thing. You do that. I'll do my thing. I'm not going to get involved with that Jesus stuff. We can't do that. We cannot be noncommittal. What did Jesus say? You're either for me or you're against me. There is nothing in between. There are no passerbys when it comes to Jesus Christ. Well, what impact did Simon's encounter with Jesus have on the rest of his life? Again, we're not told, but I think there are some things we can consider. In the first place, the fact that Simon is mentioned by name in all three gospel accounts may be indicative of something. Maybe a strong indication that he came to be personally known by the disciples of Jesus. Otherwise, I think we simply would have been told that the Roman soldiers compelled a certain man to carry the cross of Jesus. How often do we see a certain man or a certain woman in scriptures? We see it often, don't we? But in this case, he's named Simon of Cyrene, so you would even know where he was from. I think there's an indication that disciples knew who this person was. And the fact that Mark mentions him as being the father of Alexander and Rufus, I think also furthers this point. These two individuals were likely known to Mark's audience. That's why he mentioned them. This is Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. You know them. I think this is a strong indication that Simon became a disciple of Jesus Christ, that what he saw that day, the person he encountered, had such a strong impact on his life that it caused him to change his life. It was a life-altering event that it appears led him and at least his two sons to become disciples of Jesus Christ. What did he see? What did he hear? Ultimately, he saw an innocent man be crucified on the cross and recognized that his death was for his own guilt and sin. Even if he didn't hang around for the crucifixion, he saw that if he became a Christian. And the real question before you and me this morning is, what impact has my encounter with Jesus Christ had on me? Has it caused me to recognize my sin and guilt before him? Has it caused me to recognize his innocent sacrifice on my behalf? Have I acknowledged the incomprehensible and unpayable debt that I owe God? Has it caused me to take up my cross and follow after him? Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 10, 38 and 39. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life shall lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake shall find it. You know, as Christians, the cross is a burden we must accept and bear. But relative to the burden of sin, it doesn't even compare. And we'll close with what Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. See, Jesus carried the heavy load for us. It wasn't the cross. It was our sin, and he carried it to the cross so that our load might be lightened and we might have eternal life in him. If you're here today and you have not yet given your life to Jesus Christ, I would encourage you to think seriously about your condition before God, what he asks of you, and the blessings you will receive by doing it. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.